Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm glad to have you with us here today, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned. You'll be on till 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we've got a special program planned for today, and we're going to get into things right away here. I've got some guests with us here this afternoon, and I've got Dan Hermata with Act for Ohio in the studio with me. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm glad to be here.
And would you introduce our next guest as well that
sure.
we have on the phone?
He happens to be a friend of mine, a new friend of mine in the past couple of years. His name is Dick Manasseri from SecureMichigan.org, and he lives up in the great state of, unfortunately, we have to say the great state of Michigan.
We're all great, but some are greater than others, right?
Like football season's over, so we'll move on.
Well, and Dick, welcome to the program today. I'm glad to have you with us.
Well, I'm happy to be on with you and Dan and the people in the great state of Ohio.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, we got a half an hour. We got a lot packed into our half an hour, I guess, today. And so we'll try and cover and hit the highlights here a little bit. But Dick, could you give us an overview of your organization and what you do?
Well, Secure Michigan is a group of people that are just average citizens focused on how we're going to basically maintain a level of safety and law and order and security in our state. We've reached out to other people, and we've also been part of an organization called Sharia Crime Stoppers, which is a national organization. So some of your listeners, if they choose, could Google Sharia Crime Stoppers, and they would find the website that we're on there, which has got a national connection. So together, the notion basically simply is, are we secure in Michigan? Are you secure in Ohio? What is actually Sharia crime, and is that something that we need to care about? And that's basically what we work on, and we're going to partner with Act for Ohio on Sunday to talk to citizens in Ohio and anyone who can listen in about the reality of Sharia crime happening in your neighborhood.
And, you know, unfortunately, all too many Christians are just unaware of what's going on out there, and I appreciate what you're doing. I noticed on your websites. I noticed on your websites that you have you do various briefings and things, and of course, Act for Ohio is going to be holding a briefing with you on Sunday. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment here, but you mentioned on your website that you reach out to churches and synagogues and all, and as a pastor, I find that exciting because, let me just throw out a Bible verse here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. When it's talking about the those that helped King David, it said of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and their brethren were at or all their brethren were at their commandment. And I believe God does raise up people with understanding and insight to some of the things that are affecting us in our day. And I really appreciate you're making churches aware of this, and we'll get to Act for Ohio in a moment, but what do you do for churches when you come into a church or do a seminar at a church?
Well, first of all, I will say that this is a challenging conversation for churches. We have a number of pastors that have brought us in. We do immediately is make sure that people understand that we understand that Sharia, there are a subset of Sharia, which is, in fact, a religious practice related to fasting and prayer, and therefore it is protected under the First Amendment. But the new news for most pastors, unfortunately, and for citizens in general, and even for law enforcement, is that over 80% of Sharia, the law that governs people who call themselves followers of Islam, 80% or more of Sharia is, in fact, not protected by the First Amendment, precisely because it recommends and sanctions behavior that is criminal. And so this is a big shocker. So there are people who want to stay away from this topic because they keep hearing about the First Amendment. And that does include, unfortunately, law enforcement which has been from the top down in Washington, D.C., have been advised to stay away. Well, it turns out that Sharia sanctions violence against women. In fact, it says that women are not equal to men. Men are superior to women. Women are the property of men. That's part of Sharia. It basically means that if you have 100 mosques in Ohio or 140 mosques like we do in Michigan, in those mosques, in addition to praying and fasting, there are other rooms in the building, and that typically a mosque is more like a government, a seat of government. Historically, there's 1,400 years of mosque building, of converting conquered territory, churches and synagogues into mosques. So we have an active proposing teaching about Sharia, 100% of Sharia, when 80% of it is, in fact, criminal behavior, potentially criminal behavior. And it's not just the big crimes like subversion or mass murder, jihad. It's these other crimes are very big in deal, and they are, but they sometimes people forget about them, things like pedophilia. So Sharia says it's okay to have a child bride. Well, we call that in Michigan and Ohio, that's absolutely pedophilia. And if a policeman doesn't understand that, he's challenged to deal with it, to investigate it, go further and say that a prosecutor or a jury is challenged to deal with this in a factual way because they keep hearing about Islam and the First Amendment. But pedophilia, honor killing, polygamy, rape are all criminal behaviors that are sanctioned by Sharia.
And when we think about what Sharia entails, it's more than just religion. Like you said, it's a complete way of life. It's a whole government system. It's a whole economic system, all-consuming way of life. And I want to bring Dan Ramada in on this with Act for Ohio. And you've got a meeting coming up on Sunday. Normally they're on Tuesday nights, but you're on Sunday this week. And I was going to mention for pastors out there, you can forego a Sunday afternoon nap if you're not doing anything. I know some of you have things you have to do on Sunday. I'll be at a nursing home service, but I know a lot of pastors, they love to have their Sunday afternoon nap. But this is something that I think pastors ought to be interested in going to as well. Dan, welcome again to the program.
Well, great to be here. Yes, we are on Sundays for the winter. So a meeting this particular Sunday and then again 4 weeks from now at the end of February on a Sunday. Then we will revert to Monday nights this year and try to stick to that
right,
schedule.
Right, I said Tuesday accidentally.
Yeah, but so we've bounced around. It really depends on the availability of our speaker as we try to line up about 3 to 4 months ahead of time of who we're going to be bringing in. But we bring in speakers that cover all different aspects of this overall problem. And actually, Dix is very timely. Everything now is about, at least with the left, is with how women are treated. And the Me Too campaign and all that type of thing. And then you see women's marches. It gets all the media attention. Pro-life marches do not. Women's marches do. And then we have the feminists standing with Muslim-clad women with the Sharia, with the hijab, and noted women associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, like Linda Sarsour, who daily is out there spouting off threats to this country and not to assimilate and everything else. And the left wants to romanticize Islam and Sharia somehow. And just this is what Europe, the mistakes that Europe has made, and we're advising and warning and educating people so we don't go down that same path.
Yes, and Dan, if somebody out there would like to come to these meetings, how can they find out more
about this?
All right,
so here's the deal. We just changed from ACT Cleveland for the last 4.5 years because we've gotten so big. We are now calling ourselves ACT for Ohio. We are actually the state director for ACT for Ohio, which is a chapter of ACT for America, the national organization run by Brigitte Gabriel. So we ask people simply just to email me, and the email is info@ACT4Ohio, so info@actforohio.org, and then what I'll do is I'll give them some information, I'll register them via Eventbrite, tell them how we work things. We'll be out of Club Motor Estates on Sunday. These are private meetings, that's why you have to email me so you can get the invitation and get registered, but they are at Club Motor Estates on Edgerton Road, out in Broadview Heights at 2:00. It'll go to about 4:30 in the afternoon. And, we have an extensive mailing list. We've had as many as 800 people there when Brigitte was in a couple of years ago. And, but typically meetings are 200 to 300 people, depends on the speaker and their availability.
And Dick, you'll be there this Sunday, and you'll be speaking at the Act for Ohio meeting. What topics are you going to be covering in particular during your briefing this Sunday?
Well, we're going to talk very, very bluntly, and unfortunately you can't talk about these things without being a little bit graphic, but it's important for women to understand what Sharia means to them. But they're going to talk about women living in communities where there are Sharia-compliant people. For example, where I live is in Michigan. I don't live in Dearborn. I don't live in places that people write about. I live in just a regular suburban community. However, in the last year, we have imported so many people from Sharia-compliant countries that they're here amongst us. And so when I go to shop, or let's say I go to shop at Kroger or Trader Joe's, there are women in hijabs. Well, a covered woman, really isn't out and about without being associated with a man who is also Sharia compliant. What women don't understand is that the women who are in line, checkout line, next to a woman in a hijab, a woman who is covered, the way Sharia works, they're not covered.
Right.
The man who's with the covered woman sees these uncovered women fully sanctioned by Sharia as potential victims of sexual harassment and rape. We have an honor violence, an active honor violence case in my neighborhood. We have the national attention on female genital mutilation in Michigan. We have Uber drivers who, an Uber driver, and again in my county, who a woman gets in the cab, she's not covered, it's in the evening, she's dressed like a Western woman, he locks the door of the cab, and she proceeds to rape the woman. These are all active cases of day-to-day activity that are criminal in Michigan. Unfortunately, there are policemen in Michigan and Ohio, through no fault of their own, who don't understand what Sharia is. They don't understand the difference between honor killing, honor violence, and domestic violence. So, for example, in the case of honor violence, honor killing in Michigan, the only suspect is the 15-year-old son of the mother who apparently was pushed out of a window. Well, it turns out, the history in this family indicates it's probably a much bigger case where the father, other members of the family, and the imam conspired to determine there was enough shame brought to the family by a woman who just was trying to live in America and have the freedoms that most women have. It was a family decision, perhaps even a Islamic Sharia community decision, to take this woman's life. The police are not investigating it that way. Again, we love the police. They're the bravest people, but without the training was removed from them by the federal government and the FBI in 2012. So for these 6 years, the officers that protect you and me have not been trained to understand how to prosecute, how to investigate, prosecute, and convict Sharia crimes.
And it's exactly what you said. It's Sharia crime. And as Christians, oftentimes, you know, as Christians, we want to believe that everybody, you know, in their, whatever their faith is, you know, we may disagree with their faith, but we don't like to think that people in their religious faith are guilty of crimes. I mean, we believe in freedom of religion here in America, but we also understand, you know, just like we think of freedom of speech, you know, with a classic example, does not entail somebody or allow somebody to go into the crowded theater and shout fire. There are some common sense restrictions. And when we look at Islam, it's different than a lot of religions. As I was saying before, it's a way of life. And many of these things with Sharia, to be a good Muslim, you must do these things. If you do not do these things, you are not a good Muslim. And I like one of the things that you have in some of your materials online. I like to use the term fundamentalist Islam, and I saw that in some of your materials as well. And I appreciate that because I consider myself a fundamentalist Christian. And as a fundamentalist Christian, I want to go as close to the Bible as I can, but I also realize that if somebody is a Muslim and approach the Quran and the other Islamic writings the way I approach the Bible, they would be a fundamentalist Muslim, and what you just talked about, these activities, honor killings, female genital mutilation, multiple wives and child wives and all of these things. These are things that are taught in the Quran and the other religious writings of that the Muslims follow. And so as a consequence, we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware this is not people who want to live in peaceful coexistence with us and hope that maybe we convert to their faith. But instead, these are people who view the world radically different than what we do. Dan, you've been looking at this for a lot, and you've tried to talk to some pastors and things about this in the past. And would you agree that a lot of pastors just don't really get it?
It's willful blindness as well. Not only not get it, but also they don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. So it depends, you know, on the circuit. What's the news cycle? Maybe they'll talk a little bit then. If we've had some luck when we showed Faith Keepers back in the fall, which was a film about ISIS and the Christian persecution in the Middle East. I mean, it depends which angle you take and try to, use to educate people. I might add that on our newly revised website, actforohio.org, listeners can go on there and look at some of our past speakers. There's an actual section for previous meetings or meeting video, something like that, and they'll go back chronologically and can see some of the different speakers we've brought in and the different topics that they cover. And that would be a good research tool for your listeners to see what we're talking about. But, yeah, the pastors, we need a lot of, there are some courageous ones like you and Pastor Ernie and a few others. But there, many, I would say, are reluctant, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I look at it as a pastor, I mean, ultimately my goal, and I know my goals are a little bit different than your respective organizations, but my goal as a pastor is I want to see Muslims come to Christ. I want to see them know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I want to see them delivered from what I view as a false religion that they're trapped in. But I can't do that unless I avail myself of the knowledge that men such as you, Dan, and Dick, the material that you make available. I cannot do my job of understanding Muslims and the system that they're trapped in. A friend of mine that works with Muslims, he says the first victims of Muslims, you have to realize, the first victims of Islam, I should say, are Muslims.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that. And if I don't understand some of the basics of Islam, and what these people, the system these people are in, and the horrible things that it compels them to do in the name of their religion, I'm not going to be effective as a pastor, as a Christian, reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I appreciate the work that you two do.
I'd like to add one more thing before Dick jumps back in there. I'm sure he has more to share with us, but as long as you're going down that path on proselytizing to Muslims, okay, and witnessing to them, added incentive for all of us to do that is that if we do not do that, the Muslims that are coming here, which there are many, and there have been many, and there will continue to be many because the UN is deciding who comes here, okay, mm-hmm. much to our, let's just put it this way, displeasure, a lot of people's displeasure. But anyway, they're here. And if you don't witness to them, and I've made this point at Interfaith Dialogues and trying to get people to understand this, they will gravitate to the mosques controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, which are here, have been here, and have set up an infrastructure in this country, whether civil rights so-called civil rights organizations like CARE or all the mosques that are spread out throughout the country.
And I would add to that, if we're not going to be evangelistic in our outreach to Muslims, they're certainly evangelistic in their outreach to non-Muslims one way or the other. Dick, would you like to share some thoughts on that?
Well, I think people can bring the message of Jesus and the Bible to people, but you want to do that in an environment which is not antagonistic, or you want to do that in a lawful environment. So at a minimum, we need to make sure that we reestablish law and order. If this was my family watches Law and Order a lot. That's a TV station, and there's a unit called Specials Victim Unit. Well, what happens? There's a crime. It takes part of the show to solve the crime. Then you have to go to see the prosecutor who has to basically take it forward, and then you go into a courtroom. Well, all we're trying to establish is law and order using the American justice system when, to put it fully in effectiveness, when the crime is Sharia-based. To do that, you have to have police force that are trained. You have to have a prosecutor that will take the case forward. And when you go into court, you have to have citizens that are trained enough to not get fooled by the deception of the Muslim Brotherhood and their lawyers related to Sharia. So back to the point, I think there's an opportunity to bring the message of Jesus to these people that live in slavery. However, I think to do that, you have to have a relatively normal environment in your state and in your neighborhood. And to do that, we have to reinstitute the Sharia crimes unit, if we had one, where police know what it is, they prosecute crime, people are convicted, people go to jail. And that's one way for the community to understand what is honor violence. Why would somebody need four, why would a woman need four male witnesses to declare that she was raped? Why would a family take action against a woman who decides she wants to leave Islam and become something else? So all of those things affect daily life. I would say that the one that kind of gets my attention, among others, is pedophilia. I've got a 12-year-old granddaughter. She plays soccer. Well, what if the person, little girl next to her, I go to pick up my granddaughter, the gentleman who's a little bit older picks up the 12-year-old. Oh, wait a minute. That's not her grandfather. It's not her uncle. That is her husband. That is supported. That is part of Sharia. The thing that Dan said, which is really important, is in America, you have, who are the leadership people? They're called imams. They live in a mosque. And so you will have people who might have been, you know, sort of Sharia compliant. But when they come to America, they're very connected to the mosques. There's a language challenge. The mosque sets them up. The mosque leads them. So you will see second and third generation children who are brought to mosques and heavily trained into Sharia, maybe even more than their parents. And that's where we have this extra special problem of radicalization. So if you look at the Ohio State jihads, if you look at the attacks that have occurred, people who have left to go to the Middle East, there's been radicalization of what, 15 to 25-year-old men. They might have been second generations, and they went to the mosque regularly. Their parents wanted them to learn from the imam. Well, the imam is teaching Sharia, and so it's not just a question of radicalizing somebody who would kill in a shopping center. It's even somebody who would leave the mosque, go out, and be involved in violence against women.
And you're talking about the mosque in the center of the Islamic community or the community of these immigrants. I know a lot of people would say, well, those are just a few mosques that have those kind of radical ideas. We only got a couple minutes left. Just a quick guesstimate. What would you say the percentage of mosques with that type of mindset or teaching would be?
I would say you could definitely make a case for 80%. There's studies.
That's what I've heard too.
And let me mention that if you Google Sharia Crime Stoppers, you're going to go to a website, and on that website are eight videos that we just completed, and all about mosques. And there's a study in the middle of that video that talks precisely about the 80% and how that was determined.
Right.
So it's much higher than you would expect. Remember, these mosques are built largely by Saudi Arabia. The imams are trained there, and they get weekly memoranda of what to talk about on Friday.
Amazing. And they're not outliers. It's more the rule than the exception, what's being taught in these mosques. Well, Dick, I want to thank you for being on the program with us today, and Dan for being on the program. Dan, if you could quickly tell us again about the program coming up Sunday.
Sure. Sunday afternoon at 2:00, the doors will open at 1:00. We, I will register anybody that emails me at info@act4ohio.org, info@act4ohio.org. I'll give them more information. Sunday, we do ask for a $5 donation at the door just to cover our expenses. We have it's a nice big ballroom there. We have refreshments. We have handouts. We have you'll meet a lot of like-minded people and very concerned people. And we've been doing this for, we're coming up on 5 years now, and are growing exponentially.
And Dick Manasseri and Dan Ramada, I want to thank you for being on with me today. Appreciate the opportunity to get this information out. And you can also check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, we'll have this program posted here shortly as well. And again, Dan and Dick, I hope that program goes very well on Sunday. I'm looking forward to being able to watch it online later. And I appreciate the work that you're doing up there in Michigan, Dick, and the work you're doing here in Ohio, Dan. So we got you both working together. But right. We're out of time here today. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join us again Sunday night and next week, Friday, again as well. Thanks, and God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.